Frank's assailant willing to tell Harris whole story. The Atlanta Journal, Tuesday, 20th of July, 1915, page 1, column 1. J. William Crean, who cut fellow prisoner's throat, is ready to talk to state's chief executive, now. Frank's condition is steadily improving. Fever drops Tuesday noon, when wound is opened and pus drained out, not out of danger yet, by journal staff correspondent. Milledgeville, Georgia, July 20th. Leo M. Frank's assailant, J. William Crean, said today that he would be willing to tell his whole story to Governor Nat Harris. Attending physicians assert that Frank has gained several points in his battle for life. Although his condition is admittedly very serious, and none will venture to say that he is by any means out of danger, or will be for several days, today's developments have been quite encouraging. Following the establishment of free drainage by the removal this morning of 3 stitches from his wound, Frank's condition has been slowly improving. Frank rested well Monday night, but early Tuesday morning his temperature began to mount, jumping from 100 degrees at 5 o'clock to 101.45 at 10 o'clock. On opening the wound, attending physicians, Dr. Guy D. Compton, Dr. Thomas M. Hall, and Dr. S. J. Rosenberg found small quantity of pus, to which they attributed Frank's temperature. For a time, this caused alarm. But within 2 hours, the patient's temperature had dropped to 104.5 degrees, and it is believed that the opening of the wound will speed his recovery. Frank, cheerful, on making a minute examination of the wound, physicians found that J. W. Crean, in his attack on Frank Saturday night, had severed the external jugular and the vena communicans. The gash extended as deep as the carotid artery and the internal jugular, laying these bare. Neither of these important vessels were cut, however. It is believed that the infection in Frank's wound has been growing for several days and that it will be greatly relieved by the drainage. Frank is cheerful and hopeful at all times. He is well established in his new quarters. Physicians attending Frank at 9 o'clock this morning issued a statement saying Frank's temperature at that hour was 100, pulse 80, and respiration 20. Frank's wound was dressed this morning, and the following official bulletin timed 10 a.m. was given out at 10:30. Frank's temperature at 10 a.m. today was 101.25 degrees, pulse 88, respiration 20. The temperature is believed to be due to a small quantity of pus in wound. 3 stitches were removed and free drainage established. His condition remains favorable. Dr. Guy D. Compton, Dr. Thomas M. Hall, Dr. H. J. Rosenberg. At noon, following the opening of his wound, Frank's temperature had dropped back to 104/5 degrees. His doctors consider this very encouraging. Moved from hospital early last night, Frank was moved from the regular prison hospital and placed in one of the offices where he suffers less from the prison noises. He stood the trip across the building well, and seems much more cheerful in his new surroundings. In constant attention are Dr. Guy D. Compton, prison physician, his consultant, Dr. T. M. Hall, a prominent Milledgeville physician. At 6 o'clock last night, Frank's wound was dressed. Physicians found there was some suppuration, but believed it would be controlled. They believe practically all danger of hemorrhage is past. This morning, Frank's family physician, Dr. H. J. Rosenberg, arrived from Atlanta in company with Rabbi David Marks and H. A. Alexander of Frank's Council. They probably will return to Atlanta tonight. J. W. Crean, the assailant of Frank, continues to suffer much from his bruised side. He remains sullen and refuses to talk to anyone further than to reiterate his declaration that he believes he did his duty in attacking Frank. E. L. Rainey of the Georgia Prison Commission came to Milledgeville last night and made an effort to get Crean's story. Crean greeted him with the same scowl he had given all visitors and refused to talk. J. E. Smith, warden of the Georgia State Prison, stated to the Journal correspondent this morning that there is absolutely no foundation for the published accusations of Joe Johnson, a prisoner whose term expired yesterday, and who asserted that Leo M. Frank had been shown a rich man's privileges here. Frank was put in regulation stripes immediately after he reached the prison, stated Captain Smith. He was treated with absolutely no more consideration than any other prisoner. In fact, if anything, he was watched more closely than any other. Frank was kept in stripes at all times. He slept and ate with the other prisoners, and at no time was allowed any privileges which others were not given. On the day after Frank reached the prison, we put him to work, and until the time he was attacked, he put in full time, daily making up bunks, whitewashing, scrubbing, and other tasks that we thought his physical condition would allow. The only reason for moving Frank from the regular prison hospital was the fear of infection by keeping a surgical case in the same room with a typhoid fever patient. Physicians thought it imperative that Frank be moved. Warden Smith stated that it has always been the custom not to leave surgical cases in the regular hospital room. Mrs. Frank boards at Burke's. Mrs. Frank has not been a guest at the home of Warden Smith. She is boarding at the home of J.W. Burke, farm superintendent, near the prison. Her request that she be allowed to put a cot in Frank's room and sleep there has been refused because of the fact that authorities felt such an action would be an undue consideration. Mrs. Frank is permitted to sit at her husband's bedside and spends practically all of the day or night there, sleeping little. She has left only for her meals, a few hours sleep each night, and to telephone relatives of Frank's condition. She is bearing up well under the strain. Freed convict tells of attack made by Crean, Macon, Georgia, July 20th. George Johnston, who completed serving a one-year sentence from Spalding County at the State Farm Monday, and who occupied a bunk adjoining Leo M. Frank when the latter's throat was cut by William Crean, arrived here last night. Crean whispered to another convict, "Watch me," said Johnston. "I watched, too." Crean got up and went toward Frank's bunk with what looked like a folded newspaper in one hand. Crean looked down into Frank's face to make sure that it was Frank. Then he shoved his knee well up on Frank's chest and with one hand shoved his head back, stretching his neck, while the other hand with the butcher knife in it came across his throat with a quick, jerky sweep. The convict to whom Crean spoke yelled. The lights were turned on and there was Frank with the blood spurting from his throat. Crean. "Not crazy, just mean," declares Rainey State Prison Commissioner E.L. Rainey, who spent a portion of Monday at the State Farm near Milledgeville, where he talked with Frank's physicians and with Crean, the convict who attacked Frank, was in Atlanta Tuesday. To a Journal reporter, Mr. Rainey expressed the opinion that Crean was not crazy. "He appears to be just a mean and sullen man," said Mr. Rainey. "He is not a lunatic, as has been stated." The doctors told me that there was little doubt of Frank's recovery. They stated that he was sure to recover unless blood poison developed, and that they did not expect this. I talked at length with Crean, but the only question he would answer about the attack on Frank was when I asked him why he had done this. He replied that he thought he was doing right. He steadily refused to answer any other questions concerning the attack, but talked freely on any other subject suggested. Mr. Rainey was on his way from his home in Dawson to Atlanta and decided to go by the State Farm to make a personal investigation of the situation. He will go back with the commission and the governor Saturday when an official investigation will be held. Frank's assailant is willing to tell Harris' whole story, continued from page 1. Page 7, column 1. State Prison Board to probe attack on Frank Manor. Effort will be made to find where Crean got hold of knife. The State Prison Commission decided late Monday afternoon to make an investigation of the attempt of J.W. Crean to kill Leo M. Frank at the State Prison Farm at Milledgeville. The commissioners, accompanied by Governor Harris, We'll go to the farm on Saturday and we'll make a full and complete inquiry. They will undertake to find out whether Crean made the attack on his own motion or whether he was prompted to it by anyone in the prison, whether Crean had access to any anti-Frank papers, where and how Crean got hold of the knife with which he cut Frank's throat, and how he managed to be allowed to leave his cot in the dormitory, and all other facts surrounding the attack. The decision by the commission to make an investigation was reached after the Penitentiary Committee of the House of Representatives, meeting in the Prison Commission office with members of the commission present, decided there was no occasion for an investigation. Two resolutions calling for an investigation were introduced in the House on Monday and were referred to the Penitentiary Committee. Representative John Dorsey of Cobb County, chairman of the committee, called a meeting Monday afternoon to act on these resolutions. The first, introduced by Representative Stark of Jackson County, called for an investigation of what appeared to be a negligent use of butcher knives at the state farm. This resolution was tabled by the committee. Second resolution tabled. The second, introduced by Representative Smith of DeKalb, directed the prison commission to investigate all the facts surrounding the attack on Frank and report to the House and Senate. This resolution was likewise tabled by the committee. Then Representative Campbell of Newton County made a motion for the appointment of a subcommittee from the Penitentiary Committee to investigate the report back to the Committee of the Whole. This motion, the committee voted down. After the committee had taken these three actions, R.E. Davison, chairman of the Prison Commission, stated to the committee that the commission considers Crean a crazy man, that there was no hog killing at the prison farm Saturday, that Crean worked in the kitchen and must have got the knife there, that there was no way for the guards to detect his taking the knife, and that the commission could see no particular need of an investigation. Later, the commission held a meeting and decided, as said above, that an investigation should be made. The Penitentiary Committee of the House, after disposing of the Frank matter, went into joint session with the Penitentiary Committee of the Senate for the purpose of completing the report of an inspection of sanitary conditions at the state prison farm, which the two committees made jointly last week. In the course of the discussion, there were several lively tilts between members of the committee and R.E. Davison, chairman of the Prison Commission, who was present. Mr. Davison claimed some members of the commission for unsanitary conditions at the farm, and to this, he strenuously objected, on the ground that the commission has repeatedly called the legislature's attention to the lack of sanitary facilities and urged an appropriation to install the same, without result. Therefore, he contended that the prison commission should not be held responsible. Following is the report agreed upon by the committee and submitted to the House Tuesday morning by Chairman John T. Dorsey. Mr. Speaker, your committee on penitentiary, having recently made a visit to the state farm at Milledgeville, this state, beg leave to make the following report. A. We find the water supply, which is now derived in the most part from a well in close proximity to a branch or creek, into which branch or creek is emptied or drained, the excrement and other matter from the tubercular hospital, as well as from the Negro male stockade, the Negro female stockade, and the white male stockade, is so contaminated as to render the same wholly unfit for drinking purposes, being neither filtered nor passed through a septic tank. B. We find the farm totally without sewerage, with the exception of the reformatory and some 200 yards at the white male stockade. C. We find the white reformatory in a crowded condition, containing 89 inmates, the building being kept as clean as practicable, the bedding, however, being rather unsanitary. This building is wholly inadequate for the proper housing and sanitary care of the inmates, the 90 boys rooming in a building, the sleeping apartment of which is some 29-30. In this apartment, there are 49 single cots to accommodate an average of 100 boys. In the sick ward, there are now 21 boys suffering from typhoid fever, all convalescing. This ward is entirely too small to be used as an infirmary and the facilities inadequate for the caring for of the sick. There have been 3 deaths here from typhoid fever caused, as we believe, from the crowded condition of the reformatory and the causes heretofore set forth in this report. The superintendent, Mr. Lovern, with his family, is occupying a part of the building as a dwelling, this arising from the fact that there has been no other provision made for him. D. We find the male Negro stockade, the same being an old barn approximately 40x100, the ventilation of which is derived from small windows at the ends, contains 150 prisoners, who are compelled to sleep upon 110 bunks, said bunks large enough to accommodate only one person with any degree of comfort. We find that it is nothing short of savagery to work these convicts these long hot days, compelling them to sleep at night in a veritable oven, ill-smelling and beyond description, where Leo Frank was attacked by J.W. Crean. At top is an exterior view of the Georgia State Penitentiary, the building in which Frank was lodged. At bottom is the room where the prisoners slept. The figure indicates the cot where Frank was lying when attacked by Crean. Number 2 is Crean's cot. Below, Warden James E. Smith. E. We find that the whites and blacks at the women's prison are not properly segregated. While there are only 20 white inmates, it is our opinion that the segregation should be more complete. F. We find that there is no electric lighting system. These big establishments housing some 800 prisoners and being dependent upon an antiquated oil lamp system. G. We find that those in immediate authority, namely the superintendents, wardens, deputy wardens, and physicians in charge, are not only thoughtful, considerate, and human, but are most competent, so far as this committee, from a limited investigation, could ascertain. In the typhoid fever epidemic, which has been raging since the middle of May, most especially at the reformatory, we wish to commend the able services of Dr. Price, who, without facilities, has under the most deplorable conditions not only kept the death rate to a minimum, but has placed said patients on the road to recovery. H. We find, after a most thorough investigation, that the above conditions result from no fault of the prison commission, as evidenced by their repeated requests in their annual reports to the General Assembly for the years 1911, 12, 1912, 13, 1913, 14, and 1914, 15, especial reference being held to their annual reports, Nos. 15, 16, 17, and 18, pages 7, 4, 5, and 3, 4, respectively. I. We find that the State Farm is not self-sustaining and is being operated at a loss to the state. Said lands being of an inferior grade and not capable of a high state of cultivation, and cannot be cultivated to an advantage by the state. Therefore, in view of the above and foregoing, we most earnestly recommend as follows. 1. That a well or wells be bored upon some elevated portion or portions. 1. That wells be sunk on the grounds of the farm to the depth of some 300 or 400 feet, or to a greater depth if the occasion demands, until surface water is passed and pure water is reached. 2. That a complete system of sewerage and sewerage disposal plant be installed for the protection of the health and lives of these poor unfortunates who find themselves wards of the state, as well as for the protection of the citizens of Milledgeville and other state institutions in said city. 3. That either an additional floor be added to the white dormitory at the reformatory, or else an annex, together with an infirmary or hospital, the foundation of which latter has been laid. 4. That an annex be built to the main male stockade for the Negro male prisoners, as per the recommendation of the Prison Commission in their annual report for 1915, the same having been contemplated in the original building plan of said stockade. 5. that an annex or new building be built to house the white females at the woman's prison. 6. That contract be entered into by the state with some electric company to the end that said establishments be lighted not only with less cost to the state, but with a greater degree of safety. 7. We recommend an appropriation of $30,000 to cover the above immediate and pressing needs. This committee feels that these poor unfortunates are wards of the state, human beings, and as such are entitled to at least humanitarian treatment, which, on account of lack of appropriation, they are at this time denied. We feel that they should be adequately provided for, and to this end, your committee most respectfully asks that these recommendations be carried into effect. The Penitentiary Committee of the House Monday afternoon voted to recommend the passage of a bill by Representative Elders of Tatnall County, providing a new system of distributing convicts among the counties. His bill provides that the convicts shall be prorated by the Prison Commission according to the public road mileage in each county.